Hey everyone, welcome to Just Mental Health with Steph and Em, the podcast where we discuss mental health through a social justice lens. I'm Emily.
And I'm Stephanie. A quick disclaimer before we get started, we are mental health professionals, but this is not to be taken as professional advice.
We are also aware that our privilege may cloud our perspective on some topics, and we not only welcome but encourage you to message us with criticism and correction. Let's get started. Okie dokie. Our business of small business shout out of the week is Barn Lot Theater. I always say the word theater with a British accent.
I do too. It's okay. I'm wearing the shirts today.
So. Oh, snap. So Stephanie performs with them and directs and does cool shit with them. They're a theater in Edmonton, Kentucky. They do community theater. They do really cool shows. So right now, Stephanie's working on one called Young Frankenstein. She's
co-directing.
Co-directing it. Looks like they have some coming up called Home for the Holidays, A Christmas Carol, The Mouse Trap, a few different Winter Wonderits. So they have some pretty cool stuff. You can go on their website to donate, barnlottheater.org. They also have Instagram. Their Instagram is Barn Lot Theater. So definitely check them out if you are interested. And now a quick ad.
All right. And we're back. So today we are going to talk about something that is, I feel like it's kind of trending now, this topic in particular. At least I've seen a lot of other mental health providers talk about it, or I've seen other commentators on YouTube, Instagram, even on, TikTok and stuff, kind of comment on this. And there's been some articles written about it. So I'm sure when we talk about this, listeners are going to be like, oh yeah, I've noticed that too. But today we're going to talk about we're going to talk about TikTok, the app, and how it is contributing to mental health issues, the good and the bad, and also the rise in a lot of self-diagnosing among teenagers and young adults. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So I already told Emily, I have a lot to say about this. So I'll try not to get too excited and too passionate when I talk about this, but so Emily, first, how often, just in your experience so far, and you don't work with many teens at all anymore, but do you have clients coming to you in session and being like, I saw a TikTok, ..
I'd say I'm probably the one that's more likely to bring in the TikTok. I mean, I'll be like, so I saw this thing on TikTok. It's an actual licensed therapist that posted this, but it's still TikTok, so take it with a grain of salt. But I mean, as far as clients bringing it in, there's only one I can really think of, actually. Not that often for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't work with teenagers.
And because that's really where everything I've heard, that's the demographic. I mean, obviously, that's what it's geared towards. Not that people in their 20s, 30s, 40s plus don't use it. But when it comes to the mental health side, it seems to be very, very popular among like Gen Z. And so I limit the amount of teenagers I see. But I do have some like college age kids that will come and be like, so I was watching this TikTok and I'm pretty sure I have ADHD. I'm like, Really? You got all that from a TikTok? All right, cool. Let's break that down, you know? So, and I mean, now, so here's the disclaimer, right? Like, sometimes people come to me and they're like, I saw something online. I saw something on Instagram, on TikTok, and it seemed to fit me really well. Could this be what's going on? And sometimes it is. I'm like, well, yeah, I kind of had this suspicion. I'm glad you brought it up. Let's talk about this, or let's do some more assessing, or let's refer you somewhere to get, diagnosed for something. So there can be a benefit to it in that it raises awareness. But aside from that, and aside from, people being more comfortable talking about mental health issues, which is great. You also, at least I see, and I've seen a lot of other therapists talk about this. We get a lot of people that come in and want to be diagnosed or are sure they have something that we have not observed in them that doesn't match it with their symptoms. Some things that are even extremely rare. So one of the things that's interesting is that two of the disorders that I see when I browse TikTok that are the most common and seem to be have the most self-diagnosis going on are like tic disorders, like Tourette syndrome. And then the other one is dissociative identity disorder. And so there's a lot of issues with that, right? So for tic disorder, just for some people. Well,
Can I just comment on what you've said already? Sorry to cut you off. But no, yeah, I mean, I think that it's really good that they have this space, and that because social media is, it's TikTok in particular, and I know you said it's mostly teenagers, but as me as a 32-year-old grown woman, I love TikTok. It's like it is like so addicting. And so it's so easy to just keep scrolling, and the rise of just mental health discussion and awareness in general is it's becoming so much more prevalent. Like, I feel like I've met some younger people, like 23-year-olds recently, and they're talking about mental health in ways that I never talked about mental health when I was in my early 20s, teenager. So I think, kind of what you're getting at, like, this is really good that they have access to this information and that they're getting some sort of knowledge, because there are actual professionals on TikTok. However, it's when the self-diagnosing comes in, like, oh my God, I have these symptoms. I definitely have this, because, just like we've said with the DSM, like, you can read DSM criteria and what we all have, all of them, something that's like impulsive behavior. Well, sometimes I randomly like to spend $300 online shopping. Like, that doesn't mean that I have impulsive behavior. It just means that, like, I felt like shopping that day, and so I think that can happen on TikTok, but also, like, with what you're saying, like, a teenager looking on TikTok being like, I think you have ADHD, and then bringing that to their therapist. That's the important piece, is mm-hmm. that TikTok is giving people some knowledge and idea of things that they didn't have before. And then if they say, I'm going to take this information and bring it to a professional who can properly assess and diagnose me, that's when I think TikTok can be really beneficial.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's if that's the way you're using it, that's the most appropriate way. Because maybe that is what's going on. Maybe it's not, maybe it's something else, but you bringing it up and starting that discussion and being able to, sometimes people are afraid to be totally honest about their symptoms or their behaviors with their therapist. And that can kind of lead into a discussion of finding what is more appropriate if it's not this thing. And So yeah, and the whole like, you know, being able to diagnose yourself when reading the DSM, like I call it the psych 101 phenomenon or whatever, like you take your first psychology class and you just, you're like, oh my God, I have a personality disorder. Oh my God, I have bipolar disorder. And it's like, no, calm down. Like you're just learning about all of this and it's interesting, it's fascinating, and you're able to apply it to your life and notice. But that's really, that's a good thing, because there are aspects of all of us that, just like you said, we could all at some point maybe fit certain criteria, but it's not just meeting that criteria in one moment that that would get you a diagnosis. There's so many other things that go into it. And so that's where this can be complicated. So, So like I was talking about, like tic disorders, right? Or Tourette's syndrome is probably the most common tic disorder. It's pretty rare. I mean, it's not extremely rare, but it's kind of rare. And Tourette's syndrome falls under the category of tic disorders, because there's a few different ones. But Tourette's syndrome, for those who don't know, is a neurological disorder characterized by sudden, repetitive, rapid, and unwanted movements or vocal sounds called tics. It starts in childhood usually, and it involves uncontrollable repetitive movements or unwanted sounds, such as repeatedly blinking the eyes, shrugging shoulders, blurting out offensive words, stuff like that. And so I think the key thing to notice here is it's a neurological disorder, Tourette syndrome in particular. Now, there are other reasons people may have tics that are not neurologically based, but this in particular is a neurological disorder. So I've seen a lot of people online diagnose themselves with this. And it's like, I mean, it's pretty rare. And also it's a neurological disorder. So like, if you have it, you need to go and get treated.
To a neurologist.
Yes. And you need to go.
Not a psychiatrist.
Yeah. You need to go get like, you know, officially tested and diagnosed, and they should be able to tell you. I mean, they can do from observation, but they can also do from brain scans. They can tell if you have it. So I guess that's the benefit, is you can sort of get a definite yes or no for something like that. So people that just say, you know, I have Tourette syndrome, and they want to be able to, or this is assuming people are just completely making it up, for whatever reason, we'll get into that later, but you know, they sort of want that excuse of being able to act out or do something. Well, no, like you need to go and get looked at, because there can be other complications that come with it. And so that's just one thing that I see a lot of. And I think it's very strange that that became so popular right now, that that's like trending as a, I don't know, as a thing.
It just, yeah, I had no idea that Tourette's and tic disorders were a thing that anyone even ever talked about, like that, yeah. That it was like a, like there's certain disorders that are like, oh, I have ADHD, like tons mm-hmm. of people think they have ADHD, or people who are like, oh, I like things to be clean and organized, so I have OCD, you know. I've never heard people like, oh, I think I have Tourette's, like
right, what is, you feel like you would notice that in somebody, right? If somebody had Tourette syndrome, you would probably be able to tell. So in those cases where it's like people self-diagnosing, and maybe they have it and they have not gotten officially diagnosed, or, you know, you can never know if somebody that you see online is faking or exaggerating something or not. And you should never confront them about that, because it's really none of your business either way. But this is just something for people to be aware of when using social media and seeing these things. Take everything with a grain of salt, because there are people that fake disorders for lots of reasons. It's called fictitious disorder, and it's severely underdiagnosed. And I feel like mental health issues are a lot easier for people to fake because there's not definite test for some of them. Like you can't just go get a blood test and get diagnosed with bipolar disorder. So you can just pretend or exaggerate symptoms, you know, sometimes to get a lot of it is self-report. But yeah, so with Tourette's, it's like you would probably know if, you know, if somebody in your life had that, unless they were just completely faking it. And I don't know why you would want to do that, because it's a painful, you know, condition for a lot of people, and it causes a lot of social stigma in someone's real life. And I don't know, you know, why you would want to do that. But then again, people that with, you know, fictitious disorder, people who pretend for whatever reason they're not concerned about that. So that's just one example. The other one that I see a lot of online, thankfully I've not had any clients come to me and say this, but I see a lot of teenagers, like under 21, diagnosing themselves with dissociative identity disorder and then saying, I have 25 alters and I can switch between each of them whenever I want. And they all know each other and they all talk about each other and they all have these.
So those who don't know, so dissociative identity disorder is the new name for multiple personality,
mm-hmm.
which is a person who has, you know, different selves, and they, you know, switch. They're like a completely different person.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead. Just wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the interesting thing about that is extremely rare. Like there's even debate still of whether that's a real thing or not, but it is very rare. People who have it struggle to get properly diagnosed. And most of the people that get diagnosed don't get diagnosed until midlife, because it takes that long. Also in the studies of the people that, you know, do get diagnosed, they've looked at their alters or other selves or other personalities do not become distinct and defined until late 20s. And they may not even realize that that's going on until then. They may not even notice those giant gaps in memory loss that happens. So it's very, very rare, nearly unheard of for a teenager to not only have dissociative identity disorder full blown, but to have several alters and to be able to switch between them and to be aware of them, because the core component of this disorder is the dissociative part. When people are switching between these personalities, they're not aware. They disassociate. That's where it comes from. So I'm immediately skeptical. I don't believe a single person under 25 that says they have dissociative identity disorder. I don't.
They don't know that they've, you say that part again, they don't know that they've switched.
So with dissociative identity disorder, until someone has been in therapy extensively and finally got properly diagnosed, they're usually not even aware that they have these switches because of the disassociation that happens. So when someone has it, they might get triggered by something, whatever it is. And they will disassociate from themselves. And what presents is another personality or another person that is used, you know, that had been used in the past as a defense mechanism. So what causes, or where, you know, they believe DID for short comes from, is severe childhood trauma, like severe, severe systematic sexual trauma before the age of 5. That's what the research shows. And there's not a whole bunch of it. So, you know, by saying this, you are also sort of saying that you've experienced this intense trauma at 5, which would, as a social worker, if a teenager came to me and said this, I would be like, I have to call CPS, because who was doing that to you? So it's, you know, it's just, it's weird. It's so rare. And it's so strange that to me that somebody would want this. But I really think because the population you're dealing with being teenagers, they don't understand.
And well, they don't know the want it. They want to be properly diagnosed.
Sometimes. I mean, I think some of them are seeking a true diagnosis. I think some are wanting attention or to fit in online. You know what I mean? I do think there's people out there that are saying, maybe I have this, and they have severe trauma, and maybe they disassociate, you know, and that's probably true. And you can disassociate without having multiple personalities. So if I had a kid come to me and say that, I would want to talk about that first. I would want to explore that first. What is this trauma? Where is it coming from? What are you doing? Are you disassociating? What does that look like? And let's figure that out first before we start putting a label on it of you have these different personalities. Because unfortunately, childhood trauma is a lot more common than dissociative identity disorder. So if someone says that, I would obviously believe them and be like, what happened? But, you know, I think, so anyways, that's sort of like some of the things that I've noticed. And like you said, the other ones that are really common are like people saying, maybe I have ADHD. Or I've seen a rise in people being like, maybe I have autism, you know, or self-diagnosing themselves with autism.
And I think those parts are good. I mean, I think that's really good in some ways, because those two are very underdiagnosed. Like, they're overdiagnosed and underdiagnosed. You know, they're mm-hmm. like ADHD is underdiagnosed in women and girls, but it's overdiagnosed in boys. And girls and women don't get their diagnosis until later. I feel like because I've seen a lot of ADHD and autism people on TikTok, and they really do a good job of describing like very specific things that they go through, like random stuff that you wouldn't normally think of. Like, there was one that I saw, and she's like, I have ADHD and sometimes I forget to shower. And like, no one talks about that, you know, about like hygiene issues with ADHD. And she's like, it really helps me to shower if I try new products, because people with ADHD get, you know, are more motivated to do a task if there's like something new and exciting. Mm-hmm. So she gets these like subscription boxes of new shampoos and body washes. So I think though that's really great and hopefully can be really helpful. And then another thing that I'm seeing on TikTok, you know, which brings us to the social justice piece, is that they're really there are people on there that are like, I'm a Black woman and I have ADHD and we've got overlooked, or like, you know, I'm of certain demographic, of a certain demographic that tends to get overlooked or doesn't get as good as mental health care. And they talk about the, you know, inequality and discrimination in the mental health field, you know, which is really great, because people, you know, I think tend to follow people who are like them. You know, if like Black women are, you know, don't get as good of mental health care, correct diagnoses as, you know, white women or white men, you know, people are tend to follow people that are a part of their demographic that they mm-hmm. connect with most, and this helping
people get the correct diagnoses. You know, like I said earlier, like as long as they're not diagnosing themselves and they're going to a professional. And it's also really validating for people who have gotten the diagnoses to learn even more about it. Like once you get the diagnosis, it's never enough, really. Like there's always more to learn. There's always more validation you can get. So
true, true. And I think the sense of community that it can bring for people so that they don't feel alone once they receive a diagnosis. Like, wow, there's other people out there that are dealing with the same thing. This is how they do it. They're getting good tips from people that have, you know, lived experience. I think that's, yeah, I think that's wonderful. But, you know, you have to take it with a grain of salt, because even if someone has a diagnosed mental disorder and they're saying, you know, you'll see those TikToks that are like, surprising symptoms of autism, and they'll like point to, you know, stuff on the screen, and like I'll read those, and sometimes I'm like, yeah, that's probably true, and some of them I'm like, that's something everyone does, you know. So it's like, let's not pathologize things that are not pathological. It's possible that autistic people and neurotypical people do both of these things and they manifest differently, but it's like, it's not as simple as just being like, oh, I do that sometimes, or I do that too, or this happens when I must have autism. Like it's a lot more complicated. So yeah, it's like, don't take someone even saying, this is my experience, these are the things that happened to me and how I, you know, live with my mental illness or my diagnosis, and be like, oh yeah, that's definitely me, you know. Everything with a grain of salt.
I think that we, like, nowadays, we need to have, like, a high school class, required class on navigating social media.
Oh, because my God, yes. Like, good idea.
But, like, it's every, like, we need it, really. Like, school should be preparing us for life, and this is a big part of life nowadays.
Now, yeah.
Because what you're describing is accurate, like, well, okay, you know, the little people that are like, boom, 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 like, and they point to things and like, you know, they'd be like, you know, like you said, like not well-known signs of autism. And then they point to a bunch of them and you're like, well, a lot of people do that, but a lot of people with autism do that more, or do that to more often, or do that to a greater extent. So
maybe,
like, yeah, sometimes
they're just absolutely false symptoms too, though. That's right, the other thing.
So it's like definitely take it with a grain of salt. And yes, sometimes it is absolutely false, but we need to teach teenagers how to properly, like, suss out, like, what is actually just straight up false information. Even if it's a person that, not everyone that claims that they're a professional and there is actually professional,
right?
And if they do claim to be a professional, it doesn't mean they're never wrong. And second, even if the information is accurate, like we said before, lots of things can be applied to lots of people that don't actually have the disorder. Mm-hmm. It's just that that thing happens more pervasively, more severely. It has a bigger impact on the person's life. So yeah, definitely, definitely take it with a grain of salt. But I think that they just really need to be taught how to read, you know, like we teach how to read a book, how to read a dictionary, or how to read, you know, we need to teach them how to read TikToks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
some discerning, some critical thinking skills. And that's why it's so, I feel like it's so prevalent among teenagers, because you don't think about those things when you're a teenager. You're not thinking through, you're not like, you're like, why would this person on TikTok lie to me? Like, well, you know, you just start to believe those things. And so I really think it's more of an issue for and even younger than teenagers, preteens, children that are on TikTok. How are they going to know? But the other thing that I wanted to talk about real quick while we're still, you know, on this topic that has been like something I've thought about a lot, is I've seen TikToks of people saying, and paraphrasing what a lot of them say, but that requiring an official diagnosis from a mental health professional is classist. That's the statement. Now, I completely disagree with that. And I really thought about it, because I thought, is that classist? No, I completely disagree with it. What's requiring a diagnosis by a professional who is able to diagnose you is not classes. It's not classes to go to require a diagnosis from your doctor in order to know that you have cancer or diabetes. You need to get diagnosed, right? In order to get treatment. You can have an inkling like, I'm pretty sure this is diabetes, but you still have to get diagnosed in order to get treatment. You need to have a doctor look at you, run tests, make sure everything's okay, look at your history.
Well, the ability to see a doctor and see a high quality doctor is classist.
That's exactly what I was going to say. What's classist is the U.S. healthcare system.
Yeah.
It's not requiring a professional to diagnose you. That's classist. It's the healthcare system that we live under, the structure that we live under, that is within itself classes. So the fact that people have a hard time getting accurately diagnosed, having access to medical professionals of any kind, having the ability to pay for that, whether insurance will cover something they need or not, all of that bullshit that people deal with, the systemic racism that comes with that, right? So the underdiagnosing of Black women, or overdiagnosing of Black men of certain things, or, you know, the gender and sex disparities within the misogyny within the healthcare system, all of that is the problem. So, you know, there's a valid, a very valid anger and struggle with that, but it's not in the requiring the diagnosis in of itself. It's like you're directing your anger, which is valid because it does suck if you have something that's more complicated in any way, and you haven't been with a practitioner for a while enough for them to notice something, you're likely to get misdiagnosed. It's likely to get missed, right? Like bipolar disorder gets misdiagnosed all the time. Personality disorders get underdiagnosed all the time because they think it's something else, because those require, you know, you to see someone for a long period of time for them to really understand.
Premenstrual dysphoric disorder. I always like to say that one because that is a very, sexism is rampant in the lack of getting that diagnosis. So.
Exactly. So that's what we need to, you know, that's what we need to change. We need to change the system of the healthcare system and how we do things so that it makes more sense, so that it's easier for people to get diagnosed, to get treated. I had to say that because it was just like really upsetting me. Like, no,
you need a diagnosis. Like, you can't get treated for something without you need the diagnosis.
Yes.
But yeah, access to getting the diagnosis. I mean, we could do a whole, we've done classes.
We've talked about it. Yeah. A couple of times.
Our first episodes, but like, yeah, access and, you know, bias in training and bias in the medical field and the mental health field, like all of that. Yeah, it's definitely classist, racist, misogynistic, probably homophobic.
Whole gambit. Yep.
Yeah. Sizeism, everything that you can imagine. But yeah, requiring the diagnosis is not classist. It's an imperative. It's literally
works.
Science works.
You know, yeah. There's like definitely kind of my theory of like, and this is just my theory of not really doing too much research on this particular thing, but my theory of why this is so popular, why this is getting more popular is one, because teenagers and teenagers are very, and children, they're very, easily influenced. They want to fit in. They want to be accepted or to feel special, to get attention, all these things, right? When we grew up, it was like Tumblr. And like, I don't know if you were ever on Tumblr, but when I was on Tumblr, there were so many people with the trendy thing was eating disorders.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Like, mental health issues are, like, trendy now. Uh-huh. You know, and it's, like, really fucked up now. Like, a mental, like, an illness can just be a trend. But, yeah, it's seen as, like, oh, I have this disorder, you know? And then you feel, like, you know, like unique, or, like, you can go and, like, yeah.
Because I think the root cause is, like, wanting some attention and validation. And that's... that makes sense. Of course you want that. But, you know, you're not fully developed mentally enough to really understand all the intricacies of this. So, yeah. So I think some of it's like maybe social contagion, right? Where like you're describing symptoms or think you have something that someone else has because you're influenced by them. But then I also think some of it is just the amount that people are talking about it. It's sort of becoming like, again, trendy, or like, this is, well, I want to fit in. I need to fit in. If there's something weird or quirky or interesting about me, it must be a disorder. And like, in some, I guess that's the other con to it, is that people are really starting to pathologize things that are normal human experiences. And I do see that in all my clients. I see them come to me and be like, you know, they'll just talk about something they do like it's weird, or like it's something that needs to be fixed. And I'm like, that's normal.
Like, you know,
I said, you don't need to be fixed. That's normal.
In that creepy voice. Yes. like being sad after a breakup, for example, like that. Yes. Normal. Or like getting nervous before a class presentation. That's normal. If you are so depressed after a breakup to where you meet the right criteria for a depressive episode, or you're so nervous before a presentation that you meet the criteria for, you know, anxiety, mm-hmm. then okay. But, you know,
because there is happen in other situations too, not just that one. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, yeah. I mean, it, like, you know, it's going back to the same thing. Like, we can all say we've had most of these symptoms at some point. We have them here and there. You know, our human brains are just human brains. We're only capable of, like, having mm-hmm. so much. It's not like a neurotypical, or a, what's the word? I'm not neurotypical, like a person without a disorder. It's not like they are 100% functioning super well all the time, and then a disorder is functioning poorly all like the whole time. That's just right not how it works.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And it's all sort of a spectrum of a lot of things. So, you know, some people fall in different places of severity with issues, but it may not always meet the full criteria for a disorder. But it doesn't mean, and so that's the other thing, just to validate people, like maybe you don't meet diagnostic criteria for something, but that also doesn't mean that that's not causing you to feel disturbed. And it doesn't mean that you can't still get help for that, whatever it is. And you can still learn coping skills and emotion regulation. You can still talk about, you know, the things that happened to you in the past that have influenced you, or have someone to process your feelings with. Like, all of that is good. Even if you don't have a diagnosis yet, you should still seek out somebody if you're feeling disturbed by anything that's happening to you, or if it's impacting any of your goals, any of the things that you want to do. Maybe you have anxiety, but you're still functioning fine. And so you're like, I'm just dealing with it. It's not that big of a deal. And that's great. But maybe you're not. And that's when you need to, you know, you need to seek help. So yeah, so that's my rant on this. I'm glad I got this out of me, because I've been thinking about it a lot.
I feel like you mentioned this like a year ago, like it's been on our list. Something has been on our list for a while, and we just haven't, I don't know, other topics just keep
Yeah.
You know, people taking away our rights.
Kind of, you know, yeah, trumped it for a minute.
Like doing shit in the world, wars, all that, you know. Mm-hmm. Keep getting in the way. So annoying. they should think twice before getting in the way of our podcast. should we wrap up?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's our show. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share with friends and family, as well as give us a follow and a rating and review.
And don't forget to follow the show's Instagram for updates on new episodes at Just Mental Health Podcast. And that's with a period between each of those words. This is Steph.
And M signing off. Thanks for listening.